Welcome to Arbor Bridge Church's weekly podcast with your teacher, Daryl Canty. Arbor Bridge Church exists to bridge the gospel and our community by connecting people to Jesus and each other. Visit us online at arborbridgechurch.com.
Just a couple of quick thoughts I'll share just to add to what's been already shared. So this Suzelle read this verse. Let us hold firmly to the hope we claim to have. The God who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we can stir one another up to love. Let us help one another to do good works. And let us not give up meeting together. Some are in the habit of doing this. Instead, let us encourage one another with words of hope. And let us do this even more as you see Christ's return approaching. So, less than 10 years after Jesus Christ was crucified and then risen from the dead, a man named Claudius becomes emperor of Rome. And when Claudius comes to power, he inherited this problem where the Jewish people who follow the Old Testament were having all this tension with Jewish people who are starting to follow Jesus. Jesus had risen from the dead, and so more and more people were following him. And so there was this clash between the two of them. And the tension between them grew so much that Claudius, to keep the peace, said, Jewish people, if you're Jewish, you got to go. You got to get out of here. You got to get out of Rome. He kicks all the Jews out of Rome. And so think about what that might have looked like. Jewish people have lives and jobs and everything they have, their homes are in Rome, and they're being kicked out. They're being shipped out of there. And so that would be frustrating and terrible and difficult. After Claudius is killed, Jewish people start to come back to Rome because they thought it was safe. They soon found out that they had the new emperor, Nero, would be a new kind of terrible. History estimates that Nero killed like just thousands of Christians. So that's the atmosphere for Hebrews. The verse that I just read to you, that's the atmosphere that's there. And so the author of Hebrews, he's trying to get the Jesus followers ready in the midst of this persecution and trials of life. And the author of this is interesting. The author of Hebrews obviously doesn't talk about their homes or doesn't talk about their persecution a lot. What he does talk about is the fact that they're losing their focus on Christ, that they're losing they're not meeting together, and they're forgetting about how important Christ is. And it's really interesting that in the midst of all this ridiculous persecution, that's the thing he chooses to talk about. He says, don't blow off meeting together. And the author of Hebrews says it like this: let us hold firmly to the hope that we claim to have. The God who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we can stir one another up to love. Let us help one another to do good works. Let us not give up meeting together. Some are in the habit of doing this. Instead, let us encourage one another with words of hope. Let us do this even more as you see Christ's return approaching. The movie Facing the Giants is about a high school football coach who's coaching a team that's mediocre at best. So one of my favorite scenes from the movie, the coach asks one of his players named Brock to do something called the death crawl. It's the exercise where you crawl across the football field on your hands and your feet, with knees off the ground, but one of your teammates is on your back. But in this case, the coach has Brock blindfolded and asked him to go as far as he can. Rex and I are going to be doing this in the parking lot after this today. So, yeah, it's going to be awesome. Yeah. So Brock begins crawling across the field blindfolded. Typically, they go 20 to 30 yards and then they quit. But since he can't see where 20 to 30 yards is, he doesn't know where to stop. And so he's going along and he gets to 20 yards, he gets to 30 yards, but he doesn't know. And this coach comes alongside him and he says, he's just like, don't you quit. Don't you stop. And he gets down right in his face and he's like, keep going. Keep it up. Don't quit. And he is, I mean, you can imagine carrying a person on your, doing a crawl across the field, and he's sweating, he's talking about how much it hurts, and he's like, don't quit, Give me more. Don't you quit on me. Don't you stop. Don't you stop. And when he finally collapses, he's in the end zone. He's gone the entire length of the football field. A length that he would have never gone if he could see. The author of Hebrews is coming alongside the Jewish Christians facing terrible, difficult things. And he's up in their faces. He's saying, don't you quit on me. Don't you stop. Don't you let this persecution get you. Don't you forget what our hope is. Don't quit. Don't stop. He's leaning in and he's trying to help them hold on to hope. There are two main messages. There are two main messages in Hebrews. One message is this: Jesus is awesome, which is basically, all right, that's the message of the New Testament. Jesus is awesome. He's better than you would believe. And the second message is you know, if that's true, if Jesus is as awesome as we say he is, hold on to hope. Hold on to hope and don't quit. Keep moving forward despite what you are facing. The hope of God is a huge subject. We could talk about how we could think about the hope of God in a million different ways, but here's just one. We can have hope that Jesus will take what the enemy means for evil and turn it for good. We know that God makes all things work together for the good of those who love him. If you're a Jesus follower, this should be front of mind. We know that when we're facing horrible, terrible things, that God uses it for good. Tim Keller says it this way. He says, our bad things will turn out for good. Our good things can't be taken away. And the best is yet to come. Sometimes when we can see how bad, you know, sometimes we can understand how bad things can turn out for good. Like the that person you were dating in high school that you prayed that you'd get to marry and it didn't happen, you're like, thank God that didn't happen. That turned out, you know, you thought it was bad at the time, but that turned out for good. But typically, we can't see how horrific things, like being removed from your homes and being viciously persecuted, can turn out for good. Not just good, but blissful joy. We should always remember this. God used the absolute worst thing to accomplish the absolute most beautiful thing. And the cross of Christ that we all underestimate. He used the absolute worst thing to bring about. And you can imagine when those guys were standing there, they're like, how can God bring about good out of this? But he does. The horrifying cross accomplished the possibility of joy that will never end. So apart from evil, and I want you to think about this for just a second. Apart from evil and sin, we would never have seen the courage of God. We would never have seen the extent of his love. Like, so God used evil to display the opposite of what it intended in Jesus Christ. Evil gives Jesus the opportunity to be glorified in a way that's not possible without it. God plans to do the same thing with you. God plans to do the same idea with you. He plans to leverage whatever you're facing that's really, really difficult and use it for his glory, his ultimate good. If you are willing, if you can hold on to hope, when you hold on to hope that your bad things will turn out for good, in a culture like this, it's a statement about who God is. It's a statement about how you love other people. You say, this terrible thing that's happening isn't what's most defining about who I am and who you are. Your bad things will turn out for good is the message of Hebrews. And the author of Hebrews is trying to tell his audience who are crawling through life barely holding on. You can do it. Don't you quit. Don't you let up now. Don't you stop leading into Christ. Don't you stop loving him. Don't you stop showing up for each other. Do it. Don't stop. Don't quit. We need that message today. The things you are facing will turn out for good. The coming glory will be better than we can imagine. Author Peter Van Inwagen says it this way. There will be a time that is coming soon when this age of evil will be remembered as a brief flicker at the beginning of human history. If you're a Jesus follower, there's going to come a time where you look back on that stuff and it's like, as terrible as it is now, that was nothing. That was nothing. When we let bad things, we all, and I participate in this. When we let bad things bait us into letting go of hope, when we let bad things, when we let a terrible, whatever you want to pick, a terrible political situation, a terrible things that are happening in our country, terrible things that are happening in your family, when you let those things bait you into bad behavior, it's a statement that you're like, well, maybe the cross isn't as big of a deal as I thought it was. Maybe God's glory isn't as awesome as I think it is. But when we hold on to the glory of Christ in spite of the difficult things we're facing, that says something about how great the glory of Christ is. So, let us hold firmly to the hope we claim we have. The God who promised is faithful. Let us consider how we can stir up one another to love. Let us help one another to do good works. And let us not give up meeting together. Some are in the habit of doing this. Instead, let us encourage one another with words of hope. And let us do this even more as you see the return of Christ approaching. So verse 24 says, consider how to stir one another up to love. The Greek word here means provoke. It means sharp contention. It almost means like a fight. So the only other time that word is used in the Bible is when two of the early Jesus follower leaders get into this fight about who they should take on a missionary journey. And they both disagree so much. They're like, we can't go together anymore. We're separating. Because they're just getting into this fight, this provoke, this contention. That's what that word means. It means stir one another up to love. Provoke one another to love. Sharpened or wound one another into more love. Proverbs says the wounds of a friend can be trusted. And as you're provoking one another, don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. With all the troubling things that are happening, they began to stop meeting together, which that it seems logical. And we have that challenge too. We're super busy. We think differently than each other. We make each other mad and we give up meeting together. But the author says, don't you do that. Don't you do that. Hold on. Don't quit. Don't stop. And let me share this example of meeting together and provoking one another that I think that you'll find interesting. So recently I had a chance to speak at a conference where like 99% of the people in attendance were Korean. Some of my friends from Hope Church invited me to come and speak at it. And so at lunchtime, I got to meet together with other pastors. Some of them, you know, one of them was from the Hope Church, and the other were from all over the country. And so we get together in our conversation. When you meet people that you've never met before, what do you talk about? Politics, right? That's what you guys talk about. So the conversation turns towards immigration. And what their experience has been the last several months, I found it so interesting to hear from them about. And again, let me say this out loud. I have come to think that the idea of just having open borders is impractical, and that we need to do some things to secure our borders. But these guys were messing with that. They were messing with that idea. So one pastor told this story of a friend whose visa had expired. And the immigration enforcement agency basically asked him, he says, "Hey, do you want to deport yourself or do you want us to do it for you? Do you want us to deport you?" And he says, "I'll do it myself." So he gets all his stuff ready. He buys a ticket for the 13th of the month. And then on the 12th of the month, law enforcement pulls up alongside his car that him and his mother are in, and they rip him out of the car and deport him on the spot. Breathtaking, right? Breathtaking. Another man told this story. He said his mom's visa has expired, and she's terrified of what will happen. She let her visa lapse, and she reapplied. But the process, again, these are things that, you know, most, you know, some of you know, I don't know. The process has come to a standstill. There's nobody getting visas. Their visa's like redone. It's just, nothing's happening. And so she's terrified of what will happen. She's like not going outside because she's afraid. She's afraid. And here's this part's interesting. The man who told that story said something that made me lean in more. He admitted that his mom was wrong for waiting so long to have her visa renewed. And he said, if she has to be deported, that would be really crappy, but that's how it goes. I mean, this is right. But this is interesting. Her greatest concern wasn't being deported. Her greatest concern was how it would happen. What would happen to her when it went down? Another pastor had been recently married, but still hadn't got his approval to stay. He was nervous about what would happen next. Let me tell you the most compelling part of their conversation. None of them were that worried about immigration and being deported or any of that business. Their focus was on the kingdom of God. They're like, while I'm here, my business is to make sure the kingdom of God is known. And if God sends me off, then I'll make the kingdom of God known when I get back home. Like, their focus was so much, so consumed by Christ and his name, that the immigration ideas, again, none of them were saying it's not important to them, but those ideas faded to the background in favor of the kingdom of God. And it was like they were saying this. If you let immigration or political things come to the front and Jesus Christ come to the back, then you've let go of the hope that you claim to have. Let the kingdom of God come to the front where it belongs. I went away from that conversation pretty convicted. I didn't want to sit with them, I can tell you that. Listening to them was encouraging and challenging. They were provoking me and wounding me towards love and good works. Encourage one another with words of hope. And don't quit. Don't stop. Don't let this culture, any of the bad things happening, destroy your hope that God will take the bad that you're seeing and turn it for good. Don't give up meeting together with people who think differently than you. They will tell stories that will disturb you into loving more aggressively. Let me ask you to do this. Last week, I asked everyone to give themselves entirely over to God. Prepare yourself to do that by praying a prayer by Thomas A'Kempis, a 14th century monk. That prayer is in the white box out in the lobby before you leave. Take it, put it on the mirror of your bathroom, say it while you're brushing your teeth. Even if you don't feel like it's doing anything, the Holy Spirit can do what you cannot do. It's an offering of yourself over to God. Second thing that I want to ask you to do, and to ask you to consider doing, is this. Whatever you've got in the front seat of all your attention or all your worry or all your frustration or all your fears, put that in the back seat. Make the decision to put that in the back seat and put the kingdom of God in the front seat. Let me pray that we'll be able to do that, that we'll be able to hold on to hope, not quit, not stop, keep going. Hold on to hope. Dear Father, thank you so much for what Bree brought to us today, to live in a way where we are doing actions and words, where we encourage one another, and not just encouraging the people that we like, and not just encouraging with, ooh, good job, but encouraging with challenging, provoking. We're stirring one another up to the kind of love that is what's required in your kingdom. Stir us up to that kind of love. Stir us up to that kind of encouragement. Help us to not give up, to not stop, to not quit, that we would not grow weary while doing good, because in due season we will reap if we don't lose heart. Help us to hold on to the hope that you've promised and not give up. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information on our church, visit us online at arborbridgechurch.com.